Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Nobody's Prince Charming by Amy Nicole Walker, narrated by Joel Leslie. Chapter 1. Darren McCoy. Once upon a time, a fabulous gay prince moved to the tiny castle town of Blissville to help care for the ailing king so that the older man could live in his castle for as long as his health permitted. The evil Duke and Duchess of Goodville were eager to shove the old king in a home for aging monarchs, but the dashing young prince joined forces with the king to thwart their attempt to take the crown.
"Dear, maybe you should stay home today. It looks pretty slick out there."
"My grandpa," Ralph said shakily.
"I don't want my best boy to get hurt."
I briefly closed my eyes and wished I could spend the day with him. I thought of all the snowy days I stayed at his house when school was canceled due to severe snow or ice storms. We played card games or board games and drank hot chocolate. Grandpa made grilled cheese and tomato soup for lunch because it was my favorite. Then we watched The Price is Right and soap operas or cartoons until Mom or Dad came to pick me up. I'd give anything to turn the clock back to simpler times when Grandpa was vibrant and healthy, and I was oblivious to the fact that our time with the people we loved was limited. Okay, so you figured out by now this isn't really a fairy tale, but if it were, I would be the dashing gay prince and my grandpa would be the king. That meant that my parents were the evil, callous Duke and Duchess ready to throw my grandpa into Shady Acres, or whatever the home was called. I toured that place with Grandpa and saw the light leave his eyes. Knowing he wouldn't live long inside those walls, I moved in to look after him. Of course, I made it seem like I needed his help, and not the other way around. Grandpa thought I was working two jobs to pay off my college debt, which was partially true, instead of using the money to pay for his companions and private nurses that stopped in several times a week to help him bathe and check over his vitals. Medicare and his supplemental policy only paid for so much. Very little, to be honest, and I picked up the leftover balances, including his life-saving medicine. "I wish I could stay home with you, Grandpa, but Josh needs me today. It's going to be busy at the salon with everyone using gift certificates they received for Christmas. There's no better way to kick off the new year than with a new hairstyle, manicure, pedicure, or a massage."
"If you say so."
I could hear the frown in his voice. Grandpa slumped a little further in his recliner by the big picture window where he watched the activity on our street in comfort. I looked forward to spring and summer when he could sit in our rocking chairs on the front porch, but his recliner would do until then. "Don't pout," I said teasingly. "Marin will be here in a little bit to hang out with you. Wendy or Jill will be stopping by for bath time." I waggled my eyebrows at him suggestively, but he waved me off. It was better for him to be irritated with me than upset for his loss of dignity. "Jamal from Meals on Wheels is coming at noon to deliver lunch. You'll have a lot of company until I get home this evening. I'm not working at Odell's tonight." I'd grown to hate working at the furniture store as one of their in-house interior designers, but it was the only place I could use my degree. I just never felt like I fit in there, and knew I never would.
"I'd rather spend time with you."
God, it was like a dagger to the heart. Why couldn't I just win the lottery so that I didn't have to work so many jobs? How much longer did I even have with him? He looked more frail every day. Hell, he even stopped pretending he could take care of himself. I wasn't ready to let him go. I left the kitchen and squatted down beside the recliner in his small living room. "I'd much rather spend the day with you too, Grandpa. Playing cards with you would be an awesome way to spend a snowy day."
"But you've got obligations."
Did he mean himself? Was he more aware of what was going on than I realized? "I do," I agreed. "I wouldn't change a single thing about my life. Not regarding him, anyway. I'm going to walk the few blocks to the salon rather than drive. I think it'd be safer."
"Bundle up, dear. Don't skip on the hat just because you don't want to mess up your hair."
"Yes, sir." The walk to Curl Up and Die wasn't too treacherous, since a layer of snow had fallen to cover the slick, icy sidewalks. It was so cold that I only saw a few kids playing in the snow to celebrate their extra day of freedom. I figured inside the houses, parents wept for the loss of freedom they'd expected to have that day. The sidewalk in front of the salon was the only clear one I encountered because Josh Roman Wyatt knew damn well that people didn't give up their hair appointments in his salon for anything less than the death of an immediate family member. He, or his husband, must have arrived at least an hour early to clean off the sidewalks and steps leading up to both entrances to curl up and die. It was possible they'd hired a company to handle snow removal, but I doubted it since Josh was such a control freak. "Good morning," I said to Josh when I came through the rear entrance that led into a small kitchenette. My boss had both hands wrapped around a coffee cup to warm them. His red cheeks and nose told me that he was the one shoveling snow and salting the pavements around the salon. The grand old home used to act as Josh's private residence and business. He and Gabe bought a new house and dedicated the second floor of this one to expanding the massage services. "Who goes there?" Josh said dramatically, squinting to see beneath all the layers of outdoor gear I wore. I had dressed in one of those puffy down coats that dwarfed my body, a fucking knit hat, and wrapped a scarf around my head so that only my eyes were visible. "It is I, the court jester," I replied, keeping with my fairy tale theme from earlier in the day. "At your service." I dipped into a flamboyant bow. "Oh, dare," Josh said excitedly. "I'm happy you're here before everyone else. I'd like to talk." His words cut off when the back door opened again. I knew without looking who had arrived because every hair follicle on my body came to life and goosebumps pebbled my skin. "Good morning, Ren," Josh said cheerily. "Coffee?" Ren grunted in response as he walked by both of us on his way to the coat closet. Josh just shrugged and refocused his attention on me. "As I was saying, I'd like to talk to you about your future here at Curl Up and Die. Are you firing me? If so, please do it now before I peel myself out of these winter clothes." "Of course not," Josh said, dismissing the thought with a wave of his hand. "I wanted to promote you to salon manager. You're a real asset to the team and capable of doing more than receptionist duties. It would mean more hours and longer days, but maybe it would be enough for you to get away from Odell's. I know you're not happy there, but I understand if you'd rather focus on pursuing design work so you can establish your own design company someday." "Oh, wow," I said, thrilled that Josh was happy with the work I did for him. "I'm truly flattered. It would come with a pay raise, but I'm not sure it would be enough to replace your secondary income," Josh told me. "Are you willing to consider it?"
"Secondary income?"
Ren asked when he returned to the kitchen. Josh pulled Ren's favorite mug off the rack next to the coffee pot.
"Thanks."
I could tell Josh was waiting for Ren to take his butch coffee to his station so that we could finish our conversation in private. Instead of leaving us alone, Ren turned around and leaned his hot ass against the counter and settled in like he was part of the conversation. The mysterious, broody man avoided conversation like the plague, so you can imagine my confusion right about then.
"Go take that stuff off,"
Ren said after he sipped the hot, strong brew.
"I can't take you seriously when you're dressed like the little brother in a Christmas story. Andy or something?"
"Randy," Josh and I said at once.
"Whoever,"
Ren said dismissively. "You're such an ass," I told him, but stomped to the closet anyway. When I returned to the kitchen, Ren was making my coffee for me. I should have been happy that he was doing something so thoughtful, but it only made me mad. "What are you doing now?" I asked bitterly. "Why pretend he cares about my happiness now?"
"Making you a cup of coffee,"
Ren replied in a voice that questioned if I was too dumb to live. At least he hadn't added,
"What does it look like?"
I would have launched myself onto his back and grabbed two fistfuls of his long, luxurious dark hair and kissed him until he begged me to forgive him for being such an asshole. My bitterness faded until all I felt was self-loathing that I continued to let the man affect me so strongly. I opened my mouth to respond, but no words came out. I snapped my lips closed again.
"That's a first,"
Ren said, grinning crookedly. See, he didn't mean to sound like a dickhead, and he was telling me the truth. I was the kind of person who started talking the minute I hit the salon and didn't stop until I left. But you know what? It was my happy place where people accepted and loved me for who I was. yes, my grandpa loved me unconditionally, but seeing his continued failing health broke my heart. I needed my job at Curl Up and Die to remember that life is more than gut-wrenching heartbreak. No one would know my deep sorrow by the way I acted at work. They saw a vivacious man who laughed, joked, and smiled like he didn't have a care in the world. That's exactly the way I wanted it. My brain is still half-frozen, I said, choosing not to engage Ren in a battle of wits that morning.
What's this about a second job?
He asked, like he had the right. I'm a go-go boy at Drinks and Twinks, I stated calmly. Okay, all systems were go for a battle. Josh turned and spit his coffee into the sink. When he looked at me, his eyes were bulging out of his head. He once gave me some pointers about earning Ren's affection. He'd recognized some of Ren's standoffish behavior since he used to act the same way with the man he later married. It was something like, be honest, be patient, and don't play games. I had taken Josh's advice, and I had vowed to stop trying to make Ren jealous, and even confronted the man about it. People would have varying opinions on whether I was successful, but to me it was an epic failure never to be repeated. I had nothing to lose by poking the hornet's nest because I already knew I could survive the sting.
Drinks and Twinks.
Oh, dear God, the deep scratchy timbre of his voice made my dick instantly hard. I'd heard that same voice the one and only time I'd been brave enough to try to tame the beast. It's a new club, I said nonchalantly. It's all the rage, and I enjoy working there. I get to dance in a cage wearing sexy little barely there underwear.
Cages? Ren asked. Barely there underwear?
Oh, fuck. Josh muttered, looking back and forth between us like he needed to intervene. Oh, yeah, I said, stretching the words out long and sexy. The see-through ones are the real crowd pleaser, so I need to keep things... I'm out of here, Josh said, holding up a hand to stop me long enough for him to escape.
You're on your own now. I have two babies at home that need both their fathers. I can't be caught up in this.
He gestured between Ren and me.
If you survive this little conversation, then we'll chat more about your promotion.
Neither of us acknowledged him. Ren was breathing hard like a bull, and I knew fucking well he was busy imagining what I looked like in skimpy underwear, or maybe nothing at all. My heart pounded hard in my chest as I waited to see what happened next. I should have stopped while I could, but I was too revved up to just go to my desk and power up my computer to start the day.
Where were we?
Ren said once we were alone again.
I was telling you about how I keep my boys smooth as a baby's butt so that they look amazing in mesh undies, I said.
Cut the crap,
Ren snarled.
You doubt that I keep my balls smooth?
Did he want to see? Fuck, I wanted to show him.
That I don't doubt at all. It's the go-go dancer part. I just don't see you shaking your ass in a giant gilded birdcage.
Birdcage? I scoffed. Honey, those are industrial metal. Fierce and sexy. I lowered my voice and leaned closer. I don't just shake my ass. Ren narrowed his eyes and crossed one leg in front of the other. That's right. Try and hide how you respond to the images.
What does that mean?
It was cruel and unkind, but I couldn't seem to stop myself from goading him. It was like I wanted to see what happened once I pushed him past his breaking point. I came close once, and I wanted to do it again, but instead of stopping at the precipice, I wanted to shove us both right over the edge.
I give private dances, too,
I said, loving the way his eyes widened in shock. Those out-of-town closeted businessmen pay extremely well, and...
Not another fucking word out of you unless it's the truth,
Ren gritted out.
Quit trying to push me, dear. It's not going to work.
Your hard-on says differently.
My dick isn't in charge,
he refuted.
Tell me the truth about why you work two jobs.
His voice sounded gruff, but his eyes showed concern. I tried to find another witty comeback, but my snark eluded me. I'd carried this staggering weight on my shoulders for more than a year, and here was someone who seemed worried about me, when I was usually the one doing all the worrying. I cracked beneath Ren's intense stare. One minute I'm trying to seduce him, the next I'm crying against his massive chest, pouring my heart out about my grandfather. Ren stiffened in shock at first. He wasn't sure what to do with his hands and patted my shoulder awkwardly. Wren must have suspended his determination to hold me at bay, even if temporarily, because his strong arms held me tight against his chest.
Just breathe, dear. It's gonna be okay.
I'm damned if I do, and damned if I don't, Wren.
What do you mean?
He used to supplement his retirement and Social Security by renting out the apartment over the garage, but he couldn't physically maintain the property. It needs a lot of repairs before I can rent it out again, I explained. Those repairs cost a lot of money that I don't have. If I could afford to fix up the apartment, I could just work one job and spend more time with Grandpa. I have two jobs to try and save money for those repairs, but then I end up spending a big chunk of the extra money making sure Grandpa has a companion to keep an eye on him while I work the extra hours.
Your parents aren't willing to help you?
Wren asked softly.
Not even sit with him in the evenings?
Their solution is for him to move into a nursing home. They don't care that he'd be miserable and would lose his will to live. Grandpa means everything to me, Wren. I can't do that to him.
I understand,
Wren said, wiping the tears from my face. For a big guy, he sure had a gentle touch.
Tell me what kind of repairs the apartment needs. Does it have heat, electricity, and running water?
Yes, but...
It's just cosmetic issues, then. How much would you charge for rent?
I have no idea how much to charge for a studio apartment that never advanced beyond the 70s.
How's $500 a month sound? Would that help?
Do you know someone who'd be interested? I asked hopefully.
It just so happens that I know a guy who's looking to rent a one-bedroom apartment closer to work. What about the garage? How big is it, and does the tenant get to use it?
I narrowed my eyes. Wren surely didn't mean himself, did he? It's a 3-car garage and is mostly empty except for my grandpa's tools. He used to own a repair garage here in town but retired back in the 90s. He sold a lot of tools and equipment to the new owner and only kept the ones that had sentimental value. Grandpa even has a story to go with each one of them.
I bet. Can I come by tonight and look at the apartment?
Wren, you don't have to do this.
I know that I don't have to, but I want to. I really would like to live closer, especially on mornings like this, and I don't care if the wallpaper is outdated or the carpet needs replaced. I need a roof over my head, water that also heats, and a place to stash my baby.
Your baby?
If this works out, you'll get to see her.
Her?
Can you just answer my question?
Wren asked.
Are you free to show me the apartment tonight?
I felt lighter than I had in months, and I should have shown my appreciation by giving Wren a straight answer. Instead, I tipped my head to the side and said, Well, I need to give a few lap dances first. Then I... My voice hit a high-pitched note and squeaked to a stop when Wren grabbed both my ass cheeks with his big, strong hands. Yes, I moaned. Not so much in answer, but because his manhandling brought me tighter against his erection.
Oh, no,
Wren said, grabbing my hips and gently pushing me back so that our hard-ons were no longer pressed against each other.
Not here.
Not ever, I finished for him dryly. I saw and felt how much Wren wanted me, but he was still fighting it. I'd blown a few of Josh's rules already, but maybe I could give patience a try. You can come by after work if you want.
It's a plan,
Wren said, then walked away without another word. I stood in the kitchenette for a few more minutes to get my composure together. As I walked by Josh's station on my way to the front of the salon, I said, I accept your generous offer. It didn't matter what he had in mind. I was truly grateful. For the first time in a long time, I had hope that things were finally looking up for Grandpa and me.
Chapter 2. Wren Davison. The first work day of the year was everything I expected it would be. Busy, fun, and frustrating. The busy and fun parts helped distract me from the person who had frustrated me since my first day working at the salon. Dare and I started working at Curl Up and Dye on the same day, a little over a year ago. Since then, I've been on a never-ending roller coaster ride. The first thing that caught my eye about Dare was his looks. I wanted to pretend that I was some enlightened, modern man, but that would be a bullshit lie. I took one look at his pouty lips and pert ass and immediately started having ideas about what I could do with them. I've found many sets of lips and ass cheeks attractive before and could easily walk away from them without a backward glance, but his physical beauty what wasn't drew me to him time and time again like a moth to a flame. Dare's inner beauty shone through his eyes, and joy burst through him through his laughter. His desire to make everyone happy spoke volumes about his character. Those were the reasons I could hardly look away from him. He was everything I wasn't. Charismatic, friendly, and good. Things went to hell when I touched them. People got hurt, and I couldn't live with myself if I dragged Dare down into the gutter with me. So I did my best to ignore his flirting and blatant attempts at making me jealous. I somehow found the strength to call a halt to his sweet seduction before things went too far, but his heartbroken sobs against my chest moved me in ways I never thought possible. I didn't believe in love. I didn't believe in fairy tales. I didn't believe that two people could commit themselves to each other for the rest of their lives, so why pretend? I lived by simple rules. The first three being fast cars, freedom, and hard fucking. That sounded like the opposite of what a person would say about themselves on a dating site, but I wasn't looking for dates. I didn't want a boyfriend. If I did, I wouldn't waste my time on one of those sites. I'd claim what Dare wanted so badly to give me. At first he was probably captivated by my bad boy looks. I was used to it, and would normally take advantage of the situation. But that would have been a violation of rule number 4. Never eat where you work. Oh, I wanted to gobble Dare up from head to toe, then do it all over again. But he wasn't for me. Dare needed way more than I could give him. And I wasn't talking about common decency either. He was the hearts and flowers, movie date nights, and take home to your mama kind of guy. I wasn't interested in two of those things, and the other one could never happen. Damn. She would have loved him, though. I learned the hard way that loving someone could lead to utter devastation when they left you behind. The best way to avoid that was by never allowing someone close enough to hurt you. I'd never met anyone who made me question my choices, until Dare. That angered me almost as much as my obsession with him did. For his own good, I needed to push Dare away, not pull him closer. So why then did I insist on knowing the truth that morning in the kitchenette? Why not just let him spin his wild tales about dancing in cages and giving lap dances to horny, closeted men? Fuck, I was equal parts fascinated and horrified at the thought. I was no prude. I'd seen my fair share of dancing go-go boys, and I'd even let a few take a ride on my lap. But Dare was different. I just didn't want to think about why that was. I also couldn't figure out why solving his problems had become my number one priority. But it was hard to feel mad when I saw how much happier Dare seemed. Sexy, kind-hearted, and fuckable were traits that were already hard to resist. But the kind of devotion Dare had for his grandfather was breathtakingly beautiful. It was like I was seeing him in a new light, one that was almost too beautiful to view with the naked eye, but I couldn't seem to look away. Where was my brain when I volunteered to practically move in his backyard? It was one thing to resist him at work, but knowing he was within walking distance was gonna be brutal. I just about talked myself out of it until I saw him wrapping himself up like a mummy at the end of his shift. I wasn't paying attention when I arrived that morning, but I realized at noon that his car wasn't at the salon. That explained why he'd wrapped his scarf around his head and neck until only his eyes peeked through the knitted layers. Before I could stop myself, I said, "Why don't you just hang here for a few minutes and I'll drive you home? We're heading to the same place." I could tell he was eager to get home to check on his grandpa. "I won't be much longer, I just need to clean up my station." I remote started my truck, then left him in the kitchenette while I cleaned my station. I reminded myself to behave and keep my hands to myself, and demanded that I not kiss his pouty lips as I swept up the last bit of hair beneath my chair. When I returned to the kitchenette, Dare looked as if he were afraid to believe in me. I wondered if our backgrounds weren't that different after all.
I just want you to know that I won't be upset if you change your mind, Ren.
It was cute the way he tried to put me at ease. Dare, there's something you need to know about me. He nodded eagerly, biting his lip nervously as he waited. Rule number 5. I never say things I don't mean, and I don't do things I don't want to do.
That's 2 different things,
Dare said.
That should be rules 5 and 6.
They mean similar things, so they share a rule.
Saying and doing aren't even close to the same thing,
Dare argued.
It would make sense if it was say what you mean and mean what you say. They could share a rule.
They're my rules, and I'll categorize them as I see fit.
Well,
Dare said huffily,
I'll let it drop if you tell me your first 4 rules. Not gonna lie, I kind of want to see if I can make you break them.
Not a chance, I declared. His look said, we'll just see about that. Are we doing this or not? Dare responded by waggling his brows. Are we looking at the apartment or not? I clarified.
Rule number 5, say what you mean.
Dare reminded me in a tone that made me want to turn him over my knee and spank his ass until it was cherry red.
Oh, I think I know that look.
Stop talking and get in the truck. Damn, I sounded like an asshole. Good. Maybe he'll give up. I walked out the back door, and Dare could either come with me or not. Of course the little shit followed me, because he never gives up.
Chester from Nevada City wore that same expression last week when he asked if I would lie across his lap so he could paddle my naughty booty. I never thought of my butt as a naughty booty, do you?
I didn't answer him until we were both inside the warm cab of my truck. It's the naughtiest kind of booty, I said between gritted teeth. Why bother lying when we both knew just how fascinated I was with his ass? I'd grabbed 2 handfuls of it on 3 occasions, and each incident was burned into my brain and relived when I stroked my cock to relieve the pressure in my sack. Dare must have expected me to deny it because he stared at me for a few seconds without saying anything. That was 2 times now that I'd rendered him speechless. I liked it. But I know you didn't meet Chester from Nevada City at a place called Drinks and Twinks because it doesn't exist, I said smugly.
Checking up on me, huh?
Dare asked, sounded mighty pleased with himself.
I think I got the name wrong.
You got the name wrong?
I've only worked there a few weeks. I think it's Drunks and Twunks.
At this point, I could only shake my head. You're not a go-go boy. Thank fuck, because I couldn't stand the idea of anyone touching him.
This is a big truck,
Dare said, changing the subject. Where was he going with this?
I guess bigger bodies require bigger vehicles. Big hands,
he said, nodding to my hands, white-knuckling the steering wheel.
Big feet, too.
Yeah, Dare, I also have a big dick. I wanted to beat him to the punch.
I was going to say heart, but I have to agree with your assessment also. I've never seen it or directly touched your dick, but I felt it pressed against my stomach a few times.
You have a big mouth, I said, shifting my truck in reverse.
Mm-hmm. It works well on big dicks.
I nearly choked on my saliva. I'd set myself up for it, but Dare's boldness still somehow shocked me. Where to? I asked, ignoring his remark, and trying to keep my brain on navigating icy roads instead of wondering how hot and wet his mouth would feel working my cock. Dare let it go, but I doubted my reprieve would last long. He gave directions to a tidy 2-story house a few blocks away from the salon. I understood why he chose to walk instead of drive that morning. It would have taken him longer to clean his car off than walk to work. I parked behind his light blue car and shut the truck off. From what I could see of the garage, it appeared to be in good structural shape. Of course, I couldn't see the condition of the shingles with 6 inches of snow covering the roof.
The roof on the garage is metal, like the one on the house,
Dare said.
They're both in decent shape.
Let's have a look inside, I told him.
I have to run in and check on Grandpa and grab the keys. Do you want to stay here or come inside and meet him?
I'll say hello to your grandpa. It's hard to say who was more surprised by my answer. I think Dare was just being polite and didn't expect me to accept his offer. I had every intention of saying that I'd wait in the truck.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?